Welcome to another session of Teaching Others Also. We are doing some thoughts and lessons called Gleanings in Psalms. We recently did the introduction, and today is our number two session in it, and it's our first look at some gleanings in Psalms. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Psalm 30 and Psalm 60? We'll probably look at, say, four references today, and these four references will be a good little thought out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 30, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. May I say this to you, if you're sitting there with your Bible open, if you're loving the Lord, if you're serving the Lord, if you're praying to the Lord, if you're seeking the Lord, then your enemies have not won. Many of these things are not outward. They're not outward. You know, at the beginning of your different psalms here, they give you little prefaces in the old text. And I've got an Oxford-style Bible here, King James Bible. It says, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. And so David had been through many things, and the one thing that had not happened was that his enemies rejoiced over him, had been victory over him. You need mental and spiritual and emotional strength and healing. So he says in verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Verse 4, mark it please. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There were many times in David's life when physically he could have died. There were many times in David's life when spiritually he could have given up. And in verse 4 he says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. It's an instruction here to help a believer's mind. And what I want to do is keep this in mind where he says, sing unto the Lord. Psalm 60. Psalm 60, and I mentioned those prefaces. You may not have the prefaces to the book of Psalms, and I'm not talking about the notes. Sometimes they break it down, you know, and describe what David does, but there's prefaces. For example, in Psalm 60, it says, to the chief musician upon Shushan Edith Mikshtan of David to teach, and then it says some other things when he strove with him. To teach. Keep this word in mind, to teach, okay? Now we sing unto the Lord, and this singing is connected to teaching. He says in verse 1, Psalm 60, O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased, O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it, heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. As you read down through this psalm, and again, he gave this to the chief musician. This is what made up psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This was the psalms, and they sung many of them. All through my copy of my King James Bible here, I've got written in the margin, scripture song, beside verses that I know have been put to music, to good sound and clean music. And what I want to do is I want you to think about this. Sing unto the Lord, okay? There's two basic ways in which we sing unto the Lord. One is to ourself, and the other is in a congregation. Both should be unto the Lord. There is so much inner, even disguised pride in us that if we're not careful, the most basic, simple worship can turn into pride. If you have the ability to sing, just be a little bit careful about that. You could turn into a musical peacock, okay? And if you don't have the ability to sing, you don't have to tell everybody that. Just sing unto the Lord to yourself, and don't sing quite as loud. I remember being in a choir once where early on in life when the instructor taught us, this was in a state school, public school, the instructor taught us that if we couldn't hear the people around us singing, we were singing too loud. Lee. And so the idea is that we should be able to hear ourselves and hear others. Now here's the thing. Look at Psalm 59, if you're right there in Psalms, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. And so when you start your day, the idea is to sing, but he says sing aloud. Aloud. Now, I realize that you'd have to choose your spots. If you're like me, you'd have to choose your spots because I'm not gifted with a voice that people like to hear sing. At the same time, there's something involved in the way God made us that he wants us to sing aloud unto him. It will help us. It will also edify him. Okay? And what I want to do is just take this few minutes that we're using on these gleanings and let's look at a truth in the New Testament. So you've got those two passages marked, and keep one marked in Psalm 30, if you would. Let's go to Ephesians for a minute. Ephesians 5, and then Colossians, just two little tiny books over, Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Give you a moment to get there. And by the way, I know that there's a lot of different ways to look up scripture now. There's all kind of digital, electronic ways. There's iPads and different other pads and tablets. And that's what you're doing. That's cool. But let me say this. There's nothing like handling the Word of God. The Lord made us three-dimensional people. Believe it or not, when you're looking at a piece of paper with print on it, you're actually three-dimensional. When you move it with your hands, some people might not be able to, but I can probably keep way up with you cross-referencing scripture with my Bible in my hand, and I know how to use digital. I'm using it right now to record this, and I use it to look up references, and I use it to look up things and research, but there's nothing quite like getting used to your Bible, knowing where stuff's at. He gave us a book, and it's pretty significant, so it's not like I'm one of these narrow-minded anti-technology guys. I'm not. That technology really, truly has its place. Ephesians 5. Now, you tell them many things. For example, in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me just say this, throw it in, free of charge. The world has innumerable ways to take up your time today. Recreation, entertainment, amusement, hobbies, sidetracks, causes. The more evil the times, the more you have to redeem your time and say no to it and do things that other people just wouldn't understand with your time. If you're a young man called to preach and teach, you're going to have to pay the price of the closed door. And you're going to have to do it during your high biorhythm times when you can concentrate. Do not give God the dredges of your mind. Anyway, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the sentence, there's a semicolon there, so the sentence continues into the next verse. In fact, the sentence continues all the way down to verse 21. So let's keep reading it that way. By the way, all this stuff about grammar, that's grammar changes with each generation. That way somebody can get themselves paid to teach it and paid to write the books and somebody will buy the books. Your King James grammar is correct. It was the height of grammar of the English language, and it started 400 years ago when God gave it to us. So when you find a sentence that runs verse 18, 19, 20, 21, someone says, if you can't read that in one breath, you know, isn't that amazing? I don't read with my breath. I don't hold my breath when I'm reading. Now, if you're giving a speech, say do it however you want. But when it comes to writing the Bible, no. So here we go. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is the first of the two ways in which we sing unto the Lord. And that is to ourselves. It's personal instead of just necessarily congregational, okay? All right, so look, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The whole thought goes together, starts at verse 18, runs down to verse 21. So part of being filled with the Spirit, part of being able to understand what's going on around you, part of doing the will of God is connected to singing aloud. Now, I know we can sing in our heart, and I do all the time. And people are very thankful for that. Okay? But notice that he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms. So you're talking to yourself when you sing. When you go through the words. There's a couple hymns, I'm memorizing them. And I've got them written on a sheet of paper in a little pocket notebook that I carry around with me at work all day. Because those words, it's be still my soul, they've been so powerful for me over the last 4, 5, 6 months. And I go back and review them. And when I do so, it teaches me. It helps me, my mind, come back into spiritual reality. There are two realities, people. Worldly reality and spiritual reality. And if you're not careful, you think what you have that's worldly is spiritual because somebody else is doing it and, quote, it works. God doesn't say, get it to work for you. He says, do what I tell you and you'll see the outcome. Now, that's speaking to yourselves. Then, quickly, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then, of course, the powerful thought, whatsoever you do, do heartily. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, here's the point. Congregational singing helps us. It teaches and admonishes one another. We're singing, and we're agreeing to the words, and we're hearing the words. Our time is about up because we're limiting ourselves, so these are palatable, these lessons, these times together. I grabbed one hymn, for example. It's in Great Hymns of the Faith. It's hymn number 37. It's called How Great Thou Art. And I'm not going to sing it. I will after I turn this off. I always do. But I was singing this the other day, and I jotted it down to go with this thought. It says, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. And by the way, in way back before they translate some of these hymns, in the very first one, it said, the works thy hands have made. Okay? I see the stars, I hear their rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. There's so much in these hymns. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Someone says, oh, talking about trees and mountains. You know, that is one great problem, one great disconnect that people have today, especially city dwellers, especially people who go to work, spend their time indoors, TV, video, internet, games. They forget how incredible this world is. Let me read you a scripture. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See, it teaches us to look at creation with God in view. It teaches us to get outdoors. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things you can do is get outdoors when you're having hard times. It's an admonition. How great thou art, says verse 3, when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. I hope you haven't lost that fascination with what God did on the cross, sending his son. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Follow the admonition, sing unto the Lord.